Greetings this morning in the precious name of Jesus. It's good to be here this morning and good to see all of your faces again. And I'm thankful to be able to share with you this morning a little bit of something that God has been showing me this past week in my own study. And it's actually a verse that I happened upon. It was not a verse that I have been, per se, it's not something that I was reading. It was just a chapter that I turned to the other night. As I was looking at it, I was struck by the words that came from that verse and was challenged in many ways. And as I thought about this morning, and as I prayed about what I should share this morning, it just kept coming back to me. So this morning, I'm going to share with you a little bit of what God has showed me in the past week. And I just want to be His servant this morning. We find this verse in Romans chapter 6 in verse 13. If you want to turn there, we'll read this. We'll read this verse. Romans 6 verse 13. And there's a specific word in this verse that you'll find, and it comes up twice. And so we want to focus on that word this morning, and as soon as we're there, we'll read this. It says in verse 13, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about your members as instruments. This morning your body has many members, and you can do many things with the members within that body, within your body. Each one of us has those. Each one of us has many capabilities. Each one of us has choices. Each one of us is given an opportunity to live this life with these members. Whether it be our hands, our feet, our eyes, our body is full of a it is packed full of opportunities to do good and evil. But I'd like to talk to you this morning just a little bit as I was thinking about this word and thinking about the word members and instruments. I thought of many different things. You know, the Bible talks about instruments. In Psalms, we hear a lot about instruments. David talks about instruments in both when he was a king. He played on instruments. He played on a harp. We think of harps. We think of even drums. We think of those kind of things. And we call those things instruments. And those things are used to make a sound, to bring forth, to make a noise and a sound, whether pleasant or unpleasant. Also, we can think of instruments as surgical instruments, whether that be knives or little microscopes or whatever it be. Those are also instruments. There's many different instruments today that we can use. We have calculators, we have computers, we have phones. All of those things are an instrument. The interesting thing about those instruments is that we are the ones that control those instruments. We are the ones that tell those instruments what to do and what not to do. We are in control of them, largely in control of them. So this morning, we have our members. We have these members within our body, and they're called instruments in verse 13 of Romans 6. It's not those. The word instrument is not found, I don't believe, in any other verse in the New Testament. It's not used in this way in any other part of the Bible as far as I can find, as far as I could tell. I was looking through my concordance last night, and I found it used in many different ways. Most ways it was used was in what I had talked about earlier, drums and harps and some of those things that the children of Israel would have used to praise the Lord. And as I was thinking about that this last night and this morning and the past couple of days, I was thinking that we are also, as we are here on this in this earth, as we're placed here by God, as we're placed here in our specific setting for a purpose, we are here also today to bring glory to God by the instruments that He has, by the members that He has put within us as instruments. We are to yield them to Him. But we also have in the first part of this verse that we can also yield them as we can also yield our members as unrighteous members. We can also be used, our instruments can be used in many ways, and we are in control of that as well. We are the ones that make those choices, excuse me. What are you and I doing with the members today? What are we doing with the members within our body today? There is within us a desire to touch, to feel, to experience, to seek things, to look after things, to be great. There's many things within us. There's many desires within a man. Even in the best of man, there's a desire. There's a desire to be great. There's a desire to be known. And we want to talk about that just a little bit this morning. Is some of the things that cause our instruments to be dull, to be off tune, to be out of key, to not be in order and not be able to work. And you know, with all of these things that we're going to talk about this morning, you can look as good as you want to look. I can look as great as I want to be. I can come in this morning and you cannot tell that there's anything wrong with me. But on the inside, there can be wickedness and deceit within the best of man. There is within us many areas that we can hide. I'm a person that I can hide things for a while, but they tend to come out. Because my dad always said that I could not lie to him because I would always give it away by just the look on my face. So I'm not good at some of those things. But there is things that I can hide. I know I can. One of those things I would like to talk to you about a little bit this morning, and one of the things that I think is a great hindrance, and one of the things that I think is easily hidden, at least for a while, in the heart of man, that is bitterness and unforgiveness towards our fellow man or brother, whatever it may be. You know, we can hide this little seed within us. It begins to grow, and it may be a word that was said in a wrong way, or it may have been an experience that we had with somebody that was far less than desirable. And I have been guilty of this. But we let that seed begin to grow. We let that seed begin to sprout, and it begins to grow within us, and it begins to choke us, and it begins to affect every area of our life before we know it. And I speak from experience. This is not something that I've never experienced or done. But you know, as we begin to let this thing grow, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. We still come to church every Sunday. We still pray every morning before we go to work. We still read our Bible every day. And we still smile. And if people ask us how we're doing, most times we'll say, we're doing very good this morning. We're doing just fine. And we're all happy and everything looks great. But on the inside of us, we are full of deceit and unforgiveness. And we know, we'll talk about it a little bit later, more on the positive side of this of this being instruments. I was going to mention that earlier. We're going to look at the negative, and then we're going to look at the positive of this side of this verse. So we talked here about bitterness and unforgiveness. We can read about that in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. Another one that I was thinking about that is very prominent, very easily to fall into, is pride. What about pride? Does that affect any one of us? Do we ever struggle with pride? Do we ever? I do. You know, we just did a job and we just, our boss may have come up to us, or maybe the homeowner came up to me, or, you know, and they said, "Hey, you did really well. You know, you did really good." Thanks. Appreciate that. We walk on down the road and, you know, it doesn't just stop there. And then we say, "Hey, you hear what he told me?" And we don't just do it. We might not come right out and say it that way. We know better than all of that. We wouldn't just give away that we're proud anyway. I mean, that's not what we're taught to do. So we kind of hide it a little bit, but, you know, we make sure that somehow or the other somebody finds out about it, you know, and we don't want to miss an opportunity to be great. After all, maybe we've been beat down a couple times too. Another thing that I believe is a stench to the nostrils of God, and I've been thinking about this one for some time, is we have pride, and then we have something else that goes along with pride that is just as equally disgusting, and that is false humility. You know, we can come and we can walk into church. We can walk, and sometimes I think some people, and I'm not talking about anyone in specific, but they come and they think that with looking like they're all beat up makes them look like they're humble. When on the inside, there's pride, and there's a desire to be great, and there's a desire to put others down, there's a desire to lift up myself. But on the outside, there's a desire. There is a show of great spirituality. There's a show of great humility. But on the inside, there is an attitude that is dulling you being an instrument, me being an instrument of God. What about a lording attitude? And this one strikes home a little bit. You know, for those that are called to be to lead out, for those who are called to in their workplaces, they're called to be in charge of the job. How does it find us doing on having a lording attitude? An attitude of, we come to the job in the morning and we have thought about it during the night, and we thought about it on the way home from work the day before, and we've figured out what we're going to do. And this can play into any area. You all know how this area affects you. I know how it affects me. So I come to work the next morning and I have my guys, and we get out of the truck and I say, "Okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it, and this is what we want to get done today." And for me, it may be the one guy, all of a sudden, he says, "Hey, I got to be home by 4 o'clock. And this thing just rises up within me, and I say, "Hey, look, we're working an hour away from home, or more, and you know, we're working today, and this is what we want to get done. If we get done in time, you can go home. Otherwise, fine. We'll get home when we get home." You know, if you're an instrument created to bring God glory, is that the way that I should have responded to that situation? Absolutely not. How do we do in our attitudes, in the way that we respond? The Bible tells us, "He that is greatest among you, let him be your servant." And I think that I've experienced that many times. The greatest, the one that has a God-given role of being an authority, When He comes and He serves at your feet, when He serves you, when you as a servant should be serving Him, He serves you. There's something beautiful. There is something very much in tune with that attitude. And talking about some of these things, what about wanting to... I talked about this a little bit. What about wanting to be known? You know, what we did, I talked a little bit about that earlier. And you know, that is another thing that is just absolutely contradictory to becoming an instrument of righteousness and holiness. Another area that affects us. And this area is just a little bit deeper. In some ways, maybe a little... we need to be a little more careful how we talk about this. Is lust. Is the desires within our heart. How do we handle those? How do we take care of those? How are we doing on those areas of our life? Because if we have these other two, if we have bitterness in our heart, we have unforgiveness in our heart, we are walking in pride, I will guarantee you one thing, you will struggle with that one as well. That one is coming at some point in time. If it's not happened yet, expect it to happen because it will. Be careful. Beware lest the enemy come in unnoticed and your instruments of righteousness are turned into instruments of unrighteousness, doing harm when they should be doing good. What about greed and covetousness / hoarding, whatever you may call it? You know, this attitude of, this is mine, this is what I've been given. God has made me a... He's called me to be a steward of my talents. And so here I sit. I have my bank account. You have your bank account. I'm doing fine. You're doing fine. Don't talk to me. I won't talk to you. We're doing okay. Please never talk to me about my money because it's a serious issue if you do. Or coveting can come in many ways. It's not just money. I've seen some of the poorest people be some of the most covetous people that I know of. You know, you can covet all sorts of things. You could even covet your neighbor's old rust bucket of a truck if you would desire to have that thing in your yard for some sort of an ornament or the other. So it's not just in money. But those things are more things that hinder the life of a Christian. And this morning we're not talking about the unbeliever, I don't believe. We're talking about the believer. We're talking about the person who comes to church Sunday after Sunday and sits in the pews and looks very good. We're talking about what I can become like if I let my members yield themselves unto unrighteousness. Our lives being affected, talking about the circle around you, the circle of people around you, how are those lives being affected by how you're using your instruments? What are the things that they hear coming from your mouth day after day? What kind of testimony do you have with the people that see you the most? You know, I was thinking about this here yesterday. There is probably, with the busyness of the summer, the guys I work with, I probably spend almost more time with than I do with even with my wife. you know, we come home in the evening, and we obviously have the night together, but, you know, you go to bed and you don't talk. Or I don't talk much during my sleep, I don't think. But what do those people that you spend the majority of your time with, what are they saying? You know, we can say all sorts of things. We can say all sorts of good things about ourselves, and we can say all sorts of good things that we're doing at work. But when it really comes down to it, what do they say if you tomorrow meet up with my coworkers and talk to them? And I'm not talking about, you know, there's different ones. They'll always have something negative to say. I'm not talking about just their flippant attitude as unconverted men. But what do they really say when they're really serious and when they really think about it? When they really spend a little bit of time to think seriously for maybe the first time in weeks, and they think about your life and they think of how have you affected them since you've worked with them? And they know that you call yourself a believer. They know that you call yourself something more than what they call themselves. They know that you believe something more, or at least I hope they do, than what they say. I think most of them would. I think most of them would say that. And I'm not saying that any one of you here has any bad testimony at your workplace. I'm not saying that. I'm just wanting to talk about these things a little bit this morning and question, to cause us to think. Because many times we don't think much. We don't think much about these things. You know, we get busy and there's things to be done, and then we begin to push. And we push and we push, and sometimes things break when we're pushing. So now we're done with that. So now we're done with that part. And how are we doing? How are we doing on those areas? How are we doing in those areas that we talked about? But the encouraging thing this morning is that those instruments, that those members that God has put within you can be used for His glory. And He's given us an opportunity, one opportunity. He's given us one opportunity this morning. Today, He's given us another opportunity. For me, it's been about 8 years, I think, since I've been converted. I've been given more. But I made a choice 8 years ago that I'm going to yield my members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And I have failed. I have failed at times. And I still fail at times. But this morning has given us another opportunity. He's given us another opportunity today to examine ourselves and to see how we're doing with those instruments. You know, as we're given that opportunity, as I think of an instrument, I think of a harp. And you think of a harp that is tuned perfectly, and it's in the hand of a master. It's in the hand of a person that knows exactly what he's doing. That harp brings forth a glorious sound. It brings forth a sound that can be almost heavenly in ways. And I want to be careful how I say that. This morning, every one of us that is following Christ, that has a new birth, has that instrument, and they have the master physician behind that instrument willing to start stringing those harps, start stringing the string, start strumming, and start playing. Each one of you has that opportunity to have your harp, to have your instrument bring forth a glorious note, to bring forth a glorious praise and worship to God. You know, the first thing, one thing that we do notice in these verses that it talks about quite a bit in this whole chapter, but in this specific verse we have it several times. It says, "But yield yourselves." But yield yourselves unto God. submit could be used there, I believe. It actually, the Greek had a very interesting thought behind that word. It says to stand ready. It gives a picture, a little bit of a soldier when the general or whoever may come up, he's standing ready. He's prepared. He's ready to do whatever command is given. He's ready. He's ready to go. It says, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You know, one of the things that I think is, and in many of these things that we're now talking about, we'll talk about the opposites of what we've talked about earlier. One of the things that I think makes an instrument bring forth a glorious note is humility and long-suffering. Those are just two things that I talked about. There's many things that you could put in there yourself. Many things that you know this morning that can bring forth a... That you see somebody that's walking in humility. Their speech is with gentleness, with kindness. There's something about that person. When he walks away, your spirit is stirred within you and you think, wow, I just met someone that I want to be like. God can use that spirit. God can use that attitude today. He can work with a person. You know, after all, we're talking about humility and long-suffering. We're talking about God. We're talking about something that is the very nature, that is the very character of the God that we serve. Should He not be able to give us the power to then also? Should He not know what it takes for us to bring forth that glorious aroma to Him? Giving freely as ye have received. Freely ye have received, freely give. Have we not all received freely? Did any one of us pay to be forgiven? No, we gave up a few things, but those things were good for us. Those things that we had to give up for us were as rags. We didn't give up. We didn't give anything to be forgiven. We gave our life over to God. What a tremendous trade. Should we not also forgive others that have wronged us? You know, sometimes it's hard. You know, sometimes we think of those things and those things come back to us. And those things, those harsh words and those unkind things that were said, they come back. And we think about those things and, you know, if we don't take care of them immediately, it doesn't take long. They'll begin to weigh down your heart again. Purity, the exact opposite of lust. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you're walking in purity, you have one promise. You shall see God. Yielding one to another. Yielding brother to brother. Yielding to your authorities. Yielding to those that are around you. Those that are greater. Have God-given places of authority in your life. Yield yourselves to those people. And you will be able to be used as an instrument. If you're not willing to do that, you're going to be an instrument that is off key. You're not going to be able to bring forth that melodious note of praise that you should be able to praise God. So this morning, am I a member of righteousness, an instrument of righteousness unto God? Am I yielding my members? Am I yielding my members to God as an instrument? Is God able to come down and use you and I to bring forth His glory? To use us as a church to bring forth a light, to shed forth a light, to bring forth a sound, to raise a banner, to raise the standard? Are we able to do that? If we are, we are yielding our members as instruments, each one of us unto God, and corporately, as we come together, as we yield ourselves to God individually, we yield ourselves corporately. God can use individual members and then corporate members, which is far better than your individual members. Not that that's anything less, but you put yourself in a corporate, and God, you will be blessed. So just the final question that I have for you this morning in closing. Am I tuned? And I struggled a little bit with getting words for this, and so excuse the poor choice of wording. It says, am I tuned with God's harmony? Or am I in a corner squeaking out my own little tune that is off key and means absolutely nothing? I trust that all of us, I know that all of us desire to have our members tuned as instruments, to have those members within our bodies tuned to bring forth a glorious sound. And I did not desire in any of these things to bring anyone down. I was encouraged by this verse. I was tremendously encouraged by this verse. It gives us just a clear, to me it just gave me a clear picture of God's heart for us, and God's heart for me and for you. And I just want to share that with you this morning. Thank you for listening.